Begin the current daf, Kedushin daf Ayin Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the end of the Braisa that was discussed in the previous daf. And that is, we had segued in the discussion of the Asufi, which was from the topic of our Perek, the last of the 10 types of Yuchsin that there were that went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, where then the Gemara had quoted a Braisa that said that there was three different halachas that although there's nemanis, there we believe the individual, but it's only miyad, it's only immediately. One of them being in a Sufi, that it's only right when they're gathered in from the shuk, but at a later point in time, we don't believe the parents to say that it's their child, and it's considered a suffik mamzer. An additional one was a chaya, a midwife. A midwife is believed to say, whose child is this born from which mother? But again, that's only miyad, it's only immediately. Now, regarding that discussion, the Gemara had brought a braisa also regarding the nemanis of a midwife, to say that which one is the child of which one. Now the braisa continues regarding other individuals that they're trusted, they're believed regarding what they're saying, but again, there's qualifications regarding that nemanis. So the braisa continues with a case regarding if two consumers are contesting regarding a purchased item. One person is telling the seller, you sold it to me, and the other one is saying that you sold it to me and it's my purchased item. Now the Gemara will later on explain on the next Amud that it's talking about where both of them gave money. And each one paid in full. But one of them gave it with consent. He's the one that actually was sold to. The other one forcibly gave the money. Now, they both gave money, so they're both claiming that I was the real consumer. What's the halacha? Says the Braisa, Neman bal mekach lemer, the seller, the owner of the item that's being sold, is believed to say, Lezeh mecharti, lezeh emecharti. This guy is the one I sold it to, and this one's not the one I sold it to. Now, explains the Braisa, but Medrav Amru, when did we say this? Bizman shemekhe biyadeh. It's only if the purchased item is still in the hand of the seller, where then it's incumbent upon him to be careful and be meticulous to make sure that he's not going to give back the money to one guy and not give him the purchased item, and then to give it to the other one, because he has to be careful who's really the right one, because if he's taking away from the rightful consumer, then he's violating in halacha what's called a mishapara. Mishapara says that the one who will punish, a reference to Hashem, will punish the generations of the mabul, he's going to punish the one who's retracting from already an agreed upon sale. So he really has to be careful who's the guy that he really sold it to, because he can't just change. Because if he does, he's going to be punished from this punishment from Shemayim. So therefore, as long as the item is still in his hand, he has to make sure he gives it to the right guy. He's going to be careful. So when he's still holding on to the item, then we believe him, because then he's medayik. But if he's not holding it anymore, he already gave it over, went over the desk, and now both of these consumers are holding on to it, saying it's mine, and he's saying it's mine, then einoy nemen. Then the seller's not believed anymore, because then since it's not incumbent upon him, he already fulfilled his obligation about giving it over, so then he's not particularly, doesn't really recall who was the real consumer, and therefore we don't believe him anymore. That's what the braisa says. So as we continue on top of Ayin Dalet and Aleph, the Gemara asks, what's the halacha of the braisa coming to tell us? Let's see, who did he take money from? Because the assumption of the Gemara is that he only took money from one of them. That for sure he's going to recall who he got money from. So why do we say that it's if he's not holding on to the item anymore, he's not believed? So the Gemara says, Lo Tzrich is talking about the Noket Mitavayu. He got money from both of them. V'amani says, Chad Midaitoi V'chad Bal Karchi. One of them gave it to me agreeably, and one gave it to me forcibly. Now, v'lo yediyah, we don't know, hay midaita v'hay lo midaita, which one was the one that gave it to him with consent and which one gave it to him without consent. So that's what the halacha is. If he's still holding on to it, we believe him because he's careful. He doesn't want to violate a mishapara and give it to the wrong guy. Whereas once he already gave it over, he's not thinking about it. Then we don't believe him anymore regarding who's the real consumer. Similar type of halacha, the braisa continues, neman dayan leimer. A judge is believed to say, lezeh zechisi, lezeh chiyavti. This guy's the one that I merited, and this one is the guy that I held liable. Now, Bamed Mamurim says the Braisa, when we say this, Shabali dinim imdim lefanov. If the litigants are still standing in front of him, where it's incumbent upon the judge to recall, because they didn't yet leave from the moment that the judgment was finalized. So he's saying that one guy is Zakai, one guy is Chayev. Aval ein bali dinim imdim lefanov, but says the Braisa, but if they're not standing in front of him anymore, so he doesn't have to remember every court case he has, Then he's not believed anymore, because then he's not recalling. Even if they come back later and they say, oh, who was the one? We don't believe him anymore regarding who is the guy, the one or not. Now, this halacha, the Gemara asks a similar question as it did in the previous halacha. The nechziz chus manoket. Let's see who's holding the paper of judgment to say that he's the one that won. Why do we need to believe the judge? So the Gemara says, Leitzricha, the Kriya Zuchusayu. It's talking about where it got torn up, it got ripped up. Now they don't have the proof with the paper, so therefore it's just oral arguments. That's what the case is talking about, that we don't believe him once they left. But the Gemara asks, why do we need to have this whole halacha in the first place to say that once they left him, he's not believed? Who needs his belief? V'nahadar v'nidayninu. So go over, let him go ahead, either him or some other judge, judge them again and do the whole court case over again, according to their claims. Why are we saying, oh, we don't believe him? Okay, you don't believe him. Well, so what's the difference? Just do it over again. Then you'll know what the halacha is. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about a specific case of Bishuddi Didaini. It's talking about a certain judgment that doesn't depend on specific halachic reasoning. It's just based on the rationale of the judge himself. For example, like the Gemara Ksubas has in Pehei Mabez, where some guy before he died said, I want my nechasim, my property, to go to Tuvia. Now, he didn't say which Tuvia. Come into the court case, two tuvias. Two of them are relatives, two of them are neighbors. So the halacha there, it said, is that it's called shudda d'dayna, which means to say that whichever one the judge feels in his heart to say that I think this is the guy who he meant, because he was his better friend, he would frequent him more, that's the one that gets it. Now, since he already judged, if he wants to come to retract and do it over after where you say once they leave, he doesn't recall anymore, they don't want to do that over again because maybe this time his heart will tell him something else. So since it's not just easy, you can't just do it over again because it's not depending on halachic reasoning, it's more depending on the feeling of the judge. That's why we're saying that they wouldn't want to do it over again, yet we also don't believe the judge once they left. Continuing on the theme of the previous daf, which we mentioned regarding the belief of the chaya, of the parents, I mean the midwife, or the parents regarding the paternity of the child, so the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Shleishin emanin al habachar. There are three individuals that are believed to say who's the firstborn son. Elohein, they are Chaya, the midwife, who's there by delivery. Aviv, his father, and V'imai, and his mother. And Rav Nachman explains, Chaya la'altar. The midwife, as we mentioned in the previous daf, is believed immediately, right when the birth happens. Imai kol shiva. The mother's believed for the first 7 days, which, because then the father doesn't yet recognize the child, because he's still with his mother, where it's right after the birth, he didn't yet enter to the bris of Avraham Avinu on the 8th day, but after the 7th day, then it's the father's responsibility to recognize the child, as the Gemara brings, Aviv is la'olam. The father's belief regarding who's the firstborn child is forever. Ketanik learned the braisa. Pasuk says in Devarim Perchaval Pasuk Yedzayin, ki esa b'chayr, because the firstborn, ben asnua, the son of the hated one, so it says, as the Gemara, as the braisa quotes the pasuk, yaker. He recognizes him, where the pasuk there continues, losses like pishnaim, to give him a double portion, which is what a firstborn son is supposed to get. But chalasha yimatzle, whatever he has by his properties, the firstborn gets a double share. Now, the term yaker, he will make recognized, tells us yakirenu lacherim, that he makes him recognizable for other people. Mikana Rabbi Huda, this is from where Rabbi Huda says, neman adam leimer ze b'ni b'char. A person is believed to say, and give halachic relevancy, obviously, because now this child who he's saying he's believed to say he's the firstborn son will get a double portion in his father's inheritance. So the father's believed, like we see in the pasuk, yaker, that he should be makir him to other people, where now other people recognize he's the firstborn son based on the father's testimony. Now, moreover, Rabbi Huda says, Ukashem shenema loyma zeb b'ni b'char, just like we see from the pasuk, that he's believed to say this is my firstborn son, kach nema loyma, so too he's believed to say zeb ben grusha v'zeb ben chalutza, that the son has a psul, that he's the son of, where if his father is a kain that married a grusha, divorcee, or a chalutza, to say that his son is pasul. Now, whereas v'chacham aymerim enen neman, the sages say that he's not believed, whereas Rashi explains that's only going on the ben grusha ben chalutza, where of course they agree to the drasha of Yaker, that is believed to say is the firstborn son, but they dispute regarding the father's belief that the child is a ben grusha ben chalutza. Where actually Taisus asks on Rabbi Huda, where does he know this from? To say that the father's believed that the son is a ben grusha ben chalutza, in other words, regarding to say the son is a firstborn, that makes sense that the father should be believed regarding the son, because it's good for the child, because through that he takes a double portion. And that you see even in the pasuk of Yaker. But where do you see that the father's believed even to create a fault, a flaw for the child to say he's a ben grusha ben chalutza? So that Taisus says that Rabbi Huda holds that from the fact that the father's believed to say this is my son, the firstborn, it could even be talking about a child that's a middle child, where the father's saying that if this younger child is a firstborn, obviously he's believed, even though he's saying that the older ones are obviously mamzer. So you see that the father's believed regarding his other children or any child to say that they have a psul in them. Because by saying that the middle child is a bechor, which you see from the pasuk he's believed, he's saying that the older children are mamzer. Or Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Eliyahu that he says the reason why you see that the father is believed regarding ben gerusha bechalutz is because the pasuk there in context is saying ki es habechor ben asnua yakar. It's talking about the ben asnua, the son of the hated one. Now we said on daf samaches amud aleph, what does it mean snua? What do you mean Hashem doesn't hate and he doesn't care about a husband hating? It means snua ben nisu eha. It means because the father's marriage to this bechor's mother is a negative prohibition. Now, on that is what the Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, that the word kiyaker is going on both of them. First of all, yaker, the father, is believed to make recognizable that the son is the firstborn, and also that he's the son of the mother whose marriage is snua, which is a lav, which is a kain marry a grusha or a chalutza. And Taisa actually says this pshat is also brought in the Yerushalmi, so you see that the father is believed to say that he's a ben gerusha, the chalutza according to Behuda, whereas again the Chacham disagree and they hold that he's not believed, he's only believed to say that the son is a bechor. Like we said, that there's three that are believed to say that the son is a firstborn, that is the midwife right away, the mother only the first 7 days, and the father forever. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the halach of our Mishnah. Abishol ha'yikari l'shtuki b'duki. Our Mishnah concludes where Abishol, instead of calling a shtuki, which is the one that doesn't recognize his father, but does recognize his mother, that's why they call him a shtuki, that they silence him when he calls tati, because we don't know who your tati is. He would call the shtuki a b'duki, which instead of shtuki meaning silencing, b'duki means he's the inspected one. So the Gemara asks, my b'duki, what does it mean he's the inspected one? So ilim, if you're going to say shabait kines ima, it means that you check the mother, you inspect with the mother, and she says, Lakash Navalti, she says, oh, we don't know who the father is, don't worry, the bia that I had, who this father, who is not around, is missing in action, it was with a kosher person. So on that is what Abishol is saying, we call him a baduki, because we check it out with the mother, which means to say, nemenis, that the mother is believed to say that the father was a kosher, he wasn't a psul, it wasn't someone that she has a chiyav misa for, which would make the child into a mamzer. Hence, what essentially Abishal is saying, not like the Tanakamo calls him shtuki, that we don't know, maybe he's the child, the product of a forbidden union, which would make him a mamzer, so he's a suffolk mamzer. Rather, Abishal is saying that, no, he's a kosher child, because we believe the mother to say that the one that she had a relationship was a kosher. So not the Gemara's Kaman. If that would be the interpretation of Abishal, who would he be going like? He'd be going like Rebbe Gamliel? In which the question with that is so why did I need Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, who compiled the Mishnayos, to say a machlekes, the same machlekes, two times? Where, as the Gemara quotes, Tanina Chadazam Zimno, we already learned this machlekes one time somewhere else. So why did it say over here in our Mishnah, the machlekes Tanakam and Abishoyel, regarding if we believe the mother or not, who is the man that she had beer with that had this child, when we have this same machlekes, it's none. Like we're doing the Mishnah, Masechet Ksubis, we already have that machlokes somewhere else. It should have just said that machlokes is over there in Ksubis, and said, and so too Abishal says like Rebbe Gamliel. Because the Mishnah there has the same machlokes. The Mishnah says, Hisim uberes. If a woman was pregnant, they say, well, who is this fetus from? You're not married, woman. Where'd you get this child from? Who impregnated you? Amulam, she says to them, Me'ish plaini v'kainu. It's from that man, and he's a kain. Doesn't literally mean necessarily a kain. It means he's miyuchas. He was a kosher man. He's a Jewish man. The child that I'm having is not a mamzer. Now, they say that she is believed. Child's not going to be a mamzer. Obviously, she wasn't allowed to have that relationship, but it's not one that creates a mamzer. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. He says, we don't live by the word of her mouth. We don't believe necessarily what she's saying. And therefore, we don't know. It could be from a forbidden relationship, which would cause a mamzer. And therefore, it's going to have those concerns. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol, he said, halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. So essentially, the Gemara's question is, why did we say a new machlokes over here in our Mishnah when Rebbe could have just amended it to that machlokes over there and said that Abishal says Rebbe Gamliel? And that's why he calls the child a beduki, because we check with the mother and we believe the mother, which was what Rebbe Gamliel and Rebbe Eliezer already said. So the Gemara says, no. Chada, one of their opinions, meaning Rebbe Gamliel over there in Ksubis, was lahach shabba, was to only qualify and permit the mother. Because this that Rebbe Gamliel says that she's believed was not for the fetus, it was only for herself. Mean to say, because if we see a fetus, it's not just because the fetus, we know that someone had beer with her. Now, if she had bia with a psul, that would invalidate her and make her a chalala from truma. So what Rabbi Gamliel is saying is that we believed her regarding herself that she's not desecrated from truma, but not necessarily to validate the fetus itself. And that is, according to Rabbi Gamliel, we could say that if the fetus is going to be a daughter, that she's not going to be permitted to a kohen because we have to assume that maybe she's not kasher lekohuna. But the chada, but one opinion, that of Abishal, was lahakshar bebita, was coming to validate even the daughter, because that's the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the child, which that's a shtuki. We don't know who the father is, and we're talking about the child itself. Abishal, who's saying that we check with the mother regarding the child itself, is saying that the halacha is not only is she believed regarding herself like Amliel, but it's even regarding the child that we believe her, that the child was from a kasher, and therefore that she's not can be considered imam zeres. Now, this answer the Gemara asks, Hanich lamanda amma, this is only good according to the one who says over there in Ksubas daf yud gimel mabez, that ladivre hamach shabba pesel abita, that even the one who says that she's kasher min Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, that we believe her, that she's going to still be kasher for truma, but it's going to make the daughter still going to be pasla because we don't believe her necessarily regarding her daughter, who doesn't have a cheskas kashrus like the mother and so on. Elamanda ladivre hamach shabba mach shabba bita, but according to the one who says over there in Ksubas, that according to Rabbi Gamliel, the opinion that holds that we believe her for herself, then we believe her regarding her daughter too. So Abishol, my Asalashminan. Then according to that, that previous teretz doesn't work. So what is Abishol coming to tell us? We already know the validity of the child from Gamliel's opinion in Masechet Ksubas. So what do we need Abishol for? So the Gemara says the Abishol Adifa Medrami Gamliel. Now Abishol's chiddush is still more than the halacha of Rabbi Gamliel. Because the Imi Asim, had we only had Rabbi Gamliel over there, Havamina, I would have thought to say, Hasim the Rav Kasheri Netzla. There it's talking about where the majority of people that are available to this woman are kosher tar. They're not going to make her and her children a psulim. For example, where she's single, and the majority of the people in that city marry for kahuna, so they're miyuchasim, they're kosher. Therefore, we go based on the majority. Yeah, the majority would be kosher tar. So therefore, we assume she's kosher, we believe her, and regarding her child. Aval heched derei psulim etzla, but where the majority of people available to this woman are actually invalid for her. For example, let's say she's engaged and she says that, oh, the one who had bia with me was her chasim, was the aris. But the majority of the city, everyone but her aris, is forbidden to a mekudeshes. Or let's say she's single, but the majority of the people in the city that she's in are not people that married to kahuna, they're psulim, emolai. Then I would have thought to say that actually then the child is not going to be considered kasher. Tzricha, that's what we needed. Abishol over here, who says, no, that anytime you find a child that we know the mother is, but we don't know who the father is, which is even if Roy Psulin Edsel the mother, still we're going to believe the mother, that's what Beduki means, we check with her, and then if she says it's from a kasher, she's Nemenis, and that's the Chiddush, that Abishol says more than Rabbi Gamliel. And that the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Halacha Kabashol, Halacha is like Abishol, where again, as we said, that even if Roy Psulin Edsel, we believe her to say that the bia that she had was with a kasher, and that the child is going to be a kasher, not like the Tanakama who says that it's a shtuki, like a suffering mamzer, but rather it's a beduki, we believe the mother. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding the different levels of yichus, including the psulim, in the Jewish people. So the Mishnah says, Kol asurin lovei bekal, whoever's forbidden to enter into the kihila, mutar and lovei zebezeh, are permitted to intermarry one with the other. So for example, let's say a mamzer, and a shtuki, even though that one of them is a vade mamzer and one of them is a suffig mamzer, and you could say that maybe the shtuki is really a kasher, even so, it's going to be permitted to intermarry, as we said on the previous daf, that it's only bekal vade lo yavay, that a mamzer is not allowed to marry into a definite kal, but a kal suffig is allowed to be yavay. So therefore, the whoever is asa lovi bekal, which includes this halacha of a mamzer, is permitted to marry all the other ones that are forbidden, even though sometimes it could be a suffik, maybe it's really part of the kehila, but it's still permitted vaday even in the suffik, which the Gemara is going to ask, that seemingly we already learned this in the Reisha, meaning in the previous Mishnah that already said that halacha, where it spoke about the different categories that are allowed to marry each other, where it said that a mamzer is permitted in the shtuki. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Eiser, Rabbi Yehuda says it's forbidden. The Gemara is going to explain what is it that he's disagreeing about. Rabbi Yezim, he says, it depends. Vadon bivadon mutter. Definite isuri kahal are permitted one with the other. So, for example, a mamzer with a nosin who are definitely usur are permitted with each other. But vadon bisfaken, but a definite isur in a doubtful isur. So, for example, a mamzer and a nosin regarding a shtuki and a sufi, who there suffig, we don't know if they're mamzerim or not, or usvikim bevadoin, or doubtful in vadoin, meaning a shtuka in the sufi regarding marrying a mamzerim in the sini, or usvikim besvikan, or even a doubtful one in a doubtful one, meaning a shtuki to marry a shtukis, or a sufi to marry an asufis, or a sufi to marry a shtukis, he says it's aser, because we don't know regarding each one, maybe that one is kasher, and maybe that one's a pasul. I mean, whenever you find a child in the street, you don't know, could be a mamzer, could be not. So we can never have even a sufi to marry an asufis, because maybe the boy is kasher and the girl is mamzeres, or maybe the other way around. So therefore he says, only when vadoin bevadoin, we're definitely mamzer and anasin, they're for sure, as lakal, they're allowed to intermarry, but if there's maybe that the person is kasher lakal, then the suffix is forbidden in the vadoin. Now, the Elohim asvekes, and the Mishnah concludes, says, what are the categories of doubtful mamzeres? They're shtuki, as we said, that's the one who doesn't know who his father is. Asufi, we don't know who either one of his parents are. And Vakuti, which we will explain regarding the Kutim, what's the doubtful status regarding if they're a mamzer or not. Now, the Kutim are those people that Sancheyev had settled in the cities of Shomron, where the Aseres HaShvatim were, whereas the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis Perakid Zayin that the king of Ashur came and he brought from Kusa, which because he brought these people from Kusa, so therefore they were called Kusim, and at some point in time they converted because of the fear of lions that were attacking them, as the Pasuk says, B'Shalach HaRais, and this whole parasha over there is in Sefer Malachim, so they became Jewish, but there was still a certain doubtful status regarding if they're mamzerim or not, and therefore they're considered sveikan, so they're not allowed to marry. These sveikan are not allowed to marry vadoin, those that are definitely usher, lavi b'kal. So again, we have the three machlokes in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara first clarifies the first two opinions. My kol asur and lavi b'kal, what does the Tanakhama mean when he says that those who are forbidden to marry to the Kila are allowed to marry each other? Ilem, if you're going to say mamzeri, nesini, shtuki, vasufi, that those are people that are forbidden to marry into the Kehillah, either because they're definitely Mamzerim or Safik Mamzerim. And again, although we said biblically Shtuki Basufi could, but that we explained rabbinically they're not allowed to, but either way, they're not allowed to marry into the Kehillah. So they're allowed to marry each other. But the question is, Hatanele Reisha, but we already learned this halacha in the previous Mishnah. It said that Kahan Levi B'Israelim Apamir Kam B'Israel. Then it said a second category. Then it said, Mamzer V'Nasidni Shtuki V'Asuvi Matram Lov Edzeh B'Zeh. Already said this halacha. Why would the Tanakam over here be repeating that halacha? Now, Basu, moreover, another question that would be is, that it said in the Mishnah that Rebbe Yehuda Oyser. He disagrees with the Tanakam. He says it's forbidden. So the question is, ahai, what's he going back on? Ilema avadoin besveken, if he's going on the halacha regarding the definite forbidden to come to the kal, which is mamzer and the sini, regarding besveken, regarding those that are doubtful, which is shtuki and beduki, that he's saying no, you know, they can't marry each other, because as we said, that maybe one is really mamzer, one's really not, and really kal. Now the problem to say that that's why Rebbe Yehuda is saying it's forbidden, but hamadiktani seifa, but from the fact that we learned from the third opinion mentioned in the Mishnah, that it said that Rebbe Eliezer Eimer Vadoin Bevadoin Mutter, he said no. Definitely forbidden Kila is permitted and definitely forbidden Kila. So Mamzer and the Sini are permitted with each other. But Vadoin Besveikon, but definite in a doubtful one, or Sveikon Besveikon, is Aser, is forbidden. Mechlal, Rebbe Yehuda Leisrili. So obviously Rebbe Yehuda does not hold of that, because then he would be saying the same thing as Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer already says that Sveikon Bevadoin is forbidden. So what is Rebbe Yehuda saying when he says Eiser, if that's essentially what Rebbe Eliezer is saying? So the Gemara says, now, b'chitem, and if you're going to say this, obviously you can't be going back on the case of Mamzer Nesini Shtuk Vasufi for those two questions. So if you're going to say, when the Sijr B'Yehuda Oyser, it's going Agir B'Mamzeres, it's going on the halacha regarding that it's forbidden for a ger to marry a Mamzeres, because that's actually an opinion we know Rebbe Yehuda holds of. As we brought in Ayin Beis and a Beis, Rebbe Yehuda says, Ger lo yisa Mamzeres, we brought in the Braisa, he holds a ger is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, because he holds that actually the Kal of Gerim is Ikri Kal. So Ger is like a full-fledged Jew who is forbidden to Mamzeres. Now, but we don't find anywhere other disagreement Rebbe Yehuda has regarding the halachas of Yuchsin. So if you're going to say that that's what Rebbe Yehuda is going on, that he says it's forbidden for Ger to marry Mamzeres, but the problem is, Midi Ger be Mamzeres Ketani, does our Mishnah say a halacha that a Ger is permitted Mamzeres to have Rebbe Yehuda disagree and say that it's forbidden? But Kol Asur and Lovi B'Kol Ketani, the words in our Mishnah that Tanna Kama says, is those that are forbidden to come into the Kehila, that's permitted. And a ger is not from those that are forbidden love bakal. So how would it make sense to say Rebbe Yehuda when he's saying it's forbidden is saying, oh no, it's not. A ger is forbidden to marry mamzeres, and therefore they're not allowed to intermarry. But that's not halacha of kol asur love bakal, because actually a ger is permitted to marry into the kehila. So Amar Yehuda Rida says, as we continue to Amud Beis, he says, Hachikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is going on the halacha, as that's the one halacha we have known from him from a braisa, regarding the halacha of a ger b'mamzeres, that he holds that it's also forbidden for a ger, who's considered part of the kila of the Jewish people, to marry mamzeres, who's forbidden to marry into the kila. Because he did understand from the words of the Tanna Kamma, who is talking about this halacha, that said it's permitted for a ger to marry mamzeres. Why? Where do you see that? As we just asked in the Gemara, a ger is permitted to marry into the kila. Rather, when the Tanna Kamma said these words, that's forbidden for whoever's forbidden to marry into the kihila, this word of kahal that Tanna Kamma used meant kahuna, the kihila of the kahuna. That's what the Tanna Kamma was talking about. Now, my ninu. So what is this that the Tanna Kamma is referring to that he's saying it's forbidden to marry into the kihila of kahuna? It's a giyaris pechusim v'asholah shalom v'yemech. It's referring to a female convert under the age of 3. Where a kohen is forbidden to marry a geyaris, even if she's under the age of 3, even though she's not even at the age of being considered that she had bia yet. So therefore, there's no concern of halachas of znus, because as Rashi brings a pasuk in Yechezkel, says ki im besuleis mizera beis Yisrael, a kohen is allowed to marry only daughters from the household of the Jewish people, which excludes a convert, even if she's under the age of 3. And this halacha would be going not like Reb Shimon ben Yechi, who he says later on the parak of Ein Chesem and Aleph, that actually a geyeris under the age of 3 is kasher for kahuna, because then there's no problem about zayna. The only problem is with a geyeris is that over the age of 3, we were concerned that probably a man had beer with her, which would make her into a zayna, and then be forbidden to a kohen. But under the age of 3, there's no concern about kahuna. So therefore, this is what the Tanna Kamma was saying. Kol asar and luva lavi bakal kahuna. Whoever's forbidden to marry into the kila of kahuna, now who's that that's being added on with this categorization more than the first ones that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah regarding being asur to come into the kala of the Jewish people? Who's permitted to marry into the Jewish people but not into the kila of kahuna, which is a higher standard? That's a geyeris under the age of 3, where of course that would include a geyeris over the age of 3. That's what the Tanna Kamma was saying, that mutarin. So these people, meaning specifically a geyeris, under the age of 3, and all the other ones, Mamzerim, Nesini, Shtuki, who are forbidden to marry into the kahuna, but it's just adding on, the Giyaris, Pechus, and Bashal, Shamir, Mechad, are permitted to love, are permitted to marry one with the other. So a Giyaris is permitted to marry into these people. And on that is what Yehud was coming to say, that he argues because the Tanna Kamma holds, Ka Gerim, Loyakri Kal. They're not considered Kal, so they're permitted Mamzerim. Yehud, as we brought in the previous price, holds that they are considered Kal, and therefore they're forbidden in Mamzerim. But again, what we're changing in the understanding of the Mishnah is that it doesn't mean kol asum lo bekal, but rather bekal of kuhuna. Now the Gemara asks a question regarding the Gemara's answer, but why do we say that it's talking about even a child, a female convert under the age of 3? V'nukma bebas shalosh shalom b'yemechad. Let it be talking about even specifically a girl over the age of 3, and not less, and rather say that actually a girl under the age of 3 who converted would be permitted to a kain, and that we're not talking about. And therefore, it could even be going like Shimon ben Yochi. Why say specifically it's even for a female convert under the age of 3 and then say it can't be going like Shimon ben Yochi? So the Gemara says, Im Kain, if it would be going like Shimon, who, yes, he holds under the age of 3, if she converted, she's permitted to the kahuna, and which means to say that he didn't permit a female convert under the age of 3 to marry a mamzeres, because it's only those that are forbidden to marry into the kahuna, which is over the age of 3. That would sound, because that's the categorization that the Mishnah is saying, if you're giving those qualifications, so it would sound like that under the age of 3, she's forbidden to marry a mamzer. Now, if that would be the halacha, then mitzi de tavra, then, which literally means to say that it's broken on the side, meaning then you have your answer right there on the side, why the halacha of the Mishnah cannot be going like Reb Shimon. Because, elatayim edabas shalosh shalom b'yemechad. So what are you saying? The reason why you're saying is because she converted over the age of 3. But what are you saying? But if she converted under the age of 3, the mutaris lavi bakal kuna, which then according to Reb Shimon, she's permitted to marry a kayin. So then asur lavi zebezet. So then what are you saying? That then she'll be forbidden to marry into those psulim, meaning she's not allowed to marry a mamzer and the mamzer not allowed to marry her. But v'hare, but you have a giyaris that pchusim about shalosh shalom yemechad Reb Shimon ben Yochi. But a female convert under the age of 3, according to Reb Shimon ben Yochi, the mutaris lavi bekal kuna, that, again, according to Rav Shimon, is permitted to marry into the Kilav Kuna, umutar's lover zebezeh. And it's not true. They are allowed to marry into the Mamzerim because Rav Shimon holds that Kahal Gerim is not considered the Kahal. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference if she's under the age of 3 or over the age of 3. Now, therefore, the Artana, obviously, from the fact that he's permitting that over the age of 3 to a Mamzer, obviously holds that the Kahal of Gerim is Lo Yikri Kahal. And therefore, obviously, it cannot be going like Rav Shimon because he holds that it's not considered Kahal. If it's not considered Kahal, so it doesn't make a difference what age the girl is, whether she's over the age of 3 or under the age of 3. That means to say under the age of 3, she should be permitted, and that's the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochi, that she's permitted in the Mamzeres. Problem is, the way the Mishnah says it, it sounds like that whoever is forbidden the Kahuna is permitted to marry Mamzer. So if you say that's under the age of, even under the age of 3, so any Giyaris, so that makes sense, because she's always forbidden to Kahuna, so then she'll always be permitted Mamzer. But if you're saying that it's like Rav Shimon, and it's saying that only over, that's only over the age of 3, that then she's forbidden the Kahuna, then she's permitted, sounds like under the age of 3 that she's permitted to Kahuna, she'd be forbidden, but that's not true. Because actually, obviously, the halacha is that the only reason why they're permitted Mamzerim and at any age is because they're not considered Kahila, and therefore that would be even under the age of 3. That's why the halacha, the wording of our Mishnah describing it at this person, that this category that's forbidden the Kahuna, is permitted to Mamzerim, must mean at any age, even under the age of 3. Now, on this halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, the klalahu, is it really a general rule? The chalasum lovi bekal kahuna, whoever's forbidden to marry into the kila of kahuna, which again, as we're describing that, it's even a geyeris under the age of 3 who is forbidden to marry into kahuna, is mutar lovi zebezeh, is permitted to marry even to all the psula, meaning even into a mamzer. But v'hari almana ugrusha v'chalala v'zayna, you have a widow, a divorcee, a woman that's a chalala, or a zayna, Tasrum lovi bakal kuhuna. The Torah says they're forbidden to marry into kahanim. Vasrum lovi zebezeh. And they're forbidden to marry. The regular Jewish women, they're forbidden to marry mamzerim. So how could you give this halachic wording, which again we prove that's obviously that's why the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, that whoever is forbidden to kahanim is permitted to mamzerim, but that's not true. You have all these halachas that are actually permit that they're forbidden to kahanim and they're forbidden to mamzerim. Vasu, moreover, for the fact that it was only permitted the ones to marry mamzerim, only the ones that are forbidden to kahanim, that's the way the wording of the Mishnah sounds like, it sounds like hamutter, but whoever is permitted to marry into kilav kuhuna, is aser, is going to be forbidden to mamzerim. You understand the inference from one way it said that the opposite's true too. But v'hari ger shemutter b'kahanis, but a ger that's permitted to marry into kahanis, because a ger is a regular yisrael, it's allowed to marry kahanis, umutter b'mamzeris, and he's permitted to marry mamzeris, because since, as we hold, that's the halacha, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, which again reviewed the disputes, he holds that kal gerim is not called kal. So how do we understand, again, the wording of the Mishnah sounds like that whoever is forbidden in a kayin is permitted mamzerim, which again, therefore, we say is not like Rav Shimon, even a ger is p'chuzim ibas shalashon v'yamechad, so that seemingly the halacha is going to be amon of a grusha v'chal of a zayna, that they should also be permitted in mamzerim, which they're not. And more, we said inferentially there's a difficulty with this interpretation because it sounds like, okay, but that someone that is permitted to kahuna is forbidden in mamzerim, but that's not true. A ger is permitted into kahuna is still forbidden in the mamzerim. Elam Rav Nassim Bahayshe. Rather, Rav Nassim Bahayshe gives a different interpretation into the categorization, this wording of our Mishnah. In other words, don't say, as we had previously mentioned, that it's kol ha'surin. Whoever they themselves are forbidden to kahuna are going to be permitted mutar and lovi zebezeh to marry mamzerim, because then we have the question, then what do you do with amon l'kohen gadol? And what do you do with the inference regarding the other way, regarding a ger that's permitted in kahuna and yet still permitted in mamzerim, not forbidden? Rather, hachikama, this is what the Mishnah is saying, which is the machlekes tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Kol she kohen asa lisa es bitoi, whenever the kohen is forbidden to marry his daughter, Umayniu, and what's that adding on more than other people that have been to the Jewish people, like the other categories of Mamzerim, Nesim, and so on? It's a Ger Shenasa Giyeris. It's referring to a convert who married a female convert. Okrib Lesbin Yaakov, like Rabbi Lesbin Yaakov, that he says in the Mishnah later on, the Fein Zayin and Aleph, that when a Ger marries a Giyeris, his daughter is Pasal Fekahuna. So regarding such an individual, Mutarm Lovi Zebezeh. That individual is permitted to intermarry with, in other words, a ger is going to be permitted mamzeris, and a mamzeris is going to be permitted with a geyeris, in other words, because in contrast to, let's say, when the ger marries a yisraelis, That Rashi explains the Gemara could not have said that's the case our Mishnah is discussing, because who tells us that a kohen is forbidden to marry the daughter of a kohen of a ger that marries a Yisraelis? That's Rabbi Yehuda, who he says in the Mishnah that bas ger zachar kebas chal zachar. Later on, the daughter of a male convert is like the daughter of a male chalal. Where, so therefore, since the end of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who he says on this halacha of the Mishnah we're coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda Eiser, obviously the Reish is not like Rabbi Yehuda, so it can't be going like Rabbi Yehuda's halacha of saying that halacha. Therefore, we have to say it's Tumah like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who Rabbi Yehuda heard the Tanna Kamma that holds that Kahal Gerim Loi Ikri Kahal, where that's the halacha that they're not considered Kahal, and therefore they're permitted Love Ezeh Bezeh, but the way it was framed was regarding that whenever the kohen is forbidden to marry his daughter, who's that? That's a ger. So a ger is permitted to marry love ezeh bezeh, and a kohen is forbidden to marry the daughter of a ger. Again, specifically when the ger marries a geyeris, that is what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue, and he says, and that's the halacha we mentioned from Yehuda in the previous brisa. That's not true. A ger is actually forbidden in mamzeres. So again, that's really the crux of what Rabbi Yehuda is disputing on the Tanna Kamma. We just want to figure out what's the wording of the Tanna Kamma regarding when he says kol she'aser bekahuna. It doesn't mean the individual themselves, because actually then you have the problems of the previous Gemara's discussion. Rather, it means whoever's daughter is going to be forbidden to kahuna, that person is permitted love is a bezeh. So that's a ger, because a ger's child is forbidden to a kohen, again, specifically when he marries a geyeris, and therefore he's permitted love is a bezeh, because again, really, essentially, that's the opinion of Tanna Kamma, that kal gerim is loy ikri kal, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's aser, is because he holds kal gerim ikri kal. Now, on this, the Gemara still asks, v'klalahu, is that a general rule? In other words, okay, now the way you're framing the wording of the Mishnah, according to Tanna Kamma, is that whoever's daughter is forbidden to a kohen, that person, who it's his daughter, is permitted to marry mamzer. The kol shekohen asa lisa's bita, is that really true? That whenever the kohen is forbidden to marry that person's daughter, mutarim lo bezeh bezeh, he's permitted to marry into that whole last category of the previous Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of our parak, mamzer nesinim, and so on? Hare chol shenasa bas Yisrael. But now we have a question on this interpretation. You have a cholol, who again is the product of a forbidden marriage of a kohen and someone else, let's say an agrusha, where if he marries a bas Yisrael, a regular Jewish woman, which he's allowed to, the kohen also lisa bita, the kohen is forbidden to marry his daughter, because his daughter is a chalala, because her father is a chalala. And vasurin nami love ezeh bezeh, but that chalal is a regular kosher Yisrael. He just has chilul regarding his kahuna. He's not allowed to marry mamzerim nesinim. He's considered a regular kahuna of the Jewish people. So that contradicts the framework of how you're defining the terminology of our Mishnah according to Tanna Kamma. So the Gemara says, Loi kasha, that's not a difficulty. The Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah holds Kirib Distoy ben Yehuda, who he says later on that Benois Yisrael a mikvah tar lechalalim, that if a chalal marries a bas Yisrael, she's like a purifying mikvah, she purifies their children. The child, actually, the daughter is not going to be a chalala. So therefore, that doesn't fit into the category of the Mishnah. That's right. A chalal that marries a bas Yisrael, his daughter actually will be permitted to kahuna. And therefore, it's not going to fit into the halacha of the Mishnah. Whoever's daughter is forbidden to kahuna is going to be permitted to marry mamzer. So therefore, that makes sense. But the Gemara asks, but still it's difficult. Because in the case of when a chalal marries a chalala, the kohen also lisa bita, a kohen's not allowed to marry that guy's daughter, because now you don't have a regular bas Yisrael kashering, being a mikvah for the husband, because she's also a chalala. The both parents are chalala. So the child is definitely a chalala. So she can't marry a kohen. And yet, v'asar nami lo ezeh bezeh, still the father is forbidden to marry mamzerim, because although he's married to chalala, he's a regular Yisrael. He's not allowed to go ahead and marry. He's part of the kilah Jewish people. Now, not a marry mamzer. That flies in the face of how we're interpreting the Mishnah. The su, moreover, second question on this interpretation is, because hamuter, again, so the inference is, whoever has that his kohen is permitted to marry his daughter, sounds like that aser, that is forbidden to marry into those who are surin lo v'bukal, into the mamzer. But, v'ari ger, you have a convert, shenasa bas Yisrael, when he marries a regular Jewish woman, the kohen mutar lisa bita, and the kohen is permitted to marry the daughter of a ger that married a bas Yisrael, umutar and love is a, still he's permitted to marry mamzerim, because again we said that Tanna Kamma's opinion, which again that's Rabbi Yehuda is disputing, holds kal gerim la vikri kal, they're not considered kahal, and they're not allowed to marry, and therefore they're allowed to marry mamzerim, but that contradicts the framework of the halacha of the Tanna Kamma, the way you're saying. So Elam Rav Nachman Rabba Bavua, he says a different interpretation into what is this enigmatic statement of the Tanakhama, which Rabbi Yehuda is disputing. It says, Hacha mamzer ma'achaisa. Here, what's being discussed is regarding a mamzer when a person marries his sister, which is used as a prototype for a punishment of a chi of karas, u'mamzer ma'eshasish, and regarding when there's a mamzer from the union with a married woman, who that's more severe, that actually the Mises Bezdin, that is death by the courts. Ikebe now, that's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, and actually they're not disagreeing as we had assumed up until now in Halacha of a ger marrying a mamzeres. Rather as follows. Tanakhama, so the Tanakhama held afila mamzer me'achaisi nami have a mamzer, that a child from the union of a brother who marries a sister will also create a child of mamzer, because he holds that there's a mamzer from chiva krisis. So this is what the Tanakhama was saying. Whoever is born from an isser of an erva, the child's going to be a mamzer. And mutarm lovi zebezeh, what does it mean mutarm lovi zebezeh? It means to say that the mamzer of chiva krisis is going to be permitted to marry the mamzer of chiva mises, like a mises bezdin, like eshes ish, because they're all mamzerim. That's what he means to say. Kal asarm lovi bekal, because they're a mamzer, are permitted lovi zebezeh. Well, of course, that we said in the previous Mishnah. No, there's something more that our Mishnah is saying. We're saying that, what does it mean mutarm lovi zebezeh? Even a mamzer me'achaisa is permitted to marry a mamzer me'eshes ish. Now, that is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree with that. And he said, no, it's forbidden for a child of chiva krisis to marry to a child from chiva mises bezdin. Because Sav, Rabbi Yehuda holds, me'eshes ish have a mamzer. He actually holds that's not true. The status of a mamzer is only when you marry someone, when you have relations with someone, like an eshes, like a married woman. But me'achaisa will have a mamzer. But actually, from a sister is not going to be a mamzer, as the Gemara in Yemeset Zivam, Daf Mem Tesem and Alf explains the different opinions where there's a whole machlekes, what will create a mamzer. So therefore, that's the machlekes of our Mishnah. When we're saying that kol asum lovi bakal, which is a mamzer, are the mutarm lovi zebezeh or not, Tanakhama held yes, because even chiva krisis are allowed to marry into the child of a chiva mises bezdin, where so the mutarm lovi bezeh, but Rabbi Yehuda held that not, because actually the child of the chiva krisis is not considered a mamzer, rather kila, and therefore forbidden to marry the chiva mises bezdin's child, which is a mamzer. Now this interpretation, the Gemara is Maikamav Shulman. So therefore then, what would be the chiddush of our Mishnah? Why is our Mishnah saying this? But Tanina, we already learned this same exact machlik, is what you're saying is the machlik is in our Mishnah, in Mishnah Masech Tzivamis, with other Tanoim. So the question is, as we had asked a similar question, Amad Aleph, why did Reb Yehuda HaNasi, who made the Mishnayos, have to say the same Achleikis in two different places? Let Reb Yehuda HaNasi have just said, by that Mishnah over there, which we're going to quote, by Reb Yeshua's opinion, and v'chein Reb Yehuda oimer k'dvar, the Yehuda agrees to Reb Yeshua. Because as we learned over there, the same Achleikis. The Mishnah there says, Eizehu Mamzer, what qualifies a child as a Mamzer, as an illegitimate child? So the first opinion says, Kol shehu b'lo yavai, whenever there's any transgression of not allowing this bia, even if if it's just a negative prohibition, the child's going to be a mamzer. That's the Rebbe Akiva. He's the most severe interpretation. Shimna Timni, I mean, he says, no, kol shechayavin alav, whenever there's going to be a liability for that bia, for that cohabitation, karis b'dei shemayim, karis at the hands of heaven, that's going to be a child of mamzer. V'halacha g'dvav, and halacha follows the opinion of Shimna Timni. Rebbe Shua, I mean, he says, no, he's the most lenient interpretation. He says that only if there's going to be there's a death penalty in the courts over here, then the child's going to be a mamzer. But if it's just a chiva krisis, like one sister, then the child's actually not going to be a mamzer, as the Gemara with the Masech Tzivamis again explains the opinions over there. So the question is, if that's the machlekes in our Mishnah, why would Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi have said the same machlekes in two places? So Elamah Rava, rather Rava concludes, and this is the final interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, what actually is the machlekes Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah is regarding a convert from the people of Ammon or Moav. And this is what the Tanakhama was saying. Whoever is forbidden to marry into the Kehillah of the Jewish people, which applies to a Ger of Ammon or Moav, actually that's forever. What is that? That's Ger Ammon or Moav. Mutar and Lavi Zebezeh. They're permitted to marry all those other ones we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, which are the Psulim that are forbidden to the Kehillah, meaning they're allowed to marry Mamzerim, and Mamzerim are allowed to marry them. Now, for asking, if that's what the Tanakhama was saying, then why would Yehuda say it's forbidden? Because these individuals, the Ger of Ammon and Moav, are definitely not called Kahal, because they're never allowed to marry into the Kehillah. So then why would Yehuda disagree and hold, just like you're allowed to have Mamzerim marry Mamzerim, so why wouldn't he hold that the Ger Ammon and Moav would be forbidden? Why would he hold that they're forbidden to marry Mamzerim? So the Gemara says, Hachikama. You're right. What actually the whole entire Mishnah is one Tana. It's actually, there's no machlekes Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda. It's all Rabbi Yehuda. And this is what the Mishnah was saying. Afa peish Rabbi Yehuda oiser gei b'mamzeres. Meaning when it says in the Mishnah, it says the halacha. Then when it says Rabbi Yehuda oiser, it was like, it was an addendum, which was a clause to explain the halacha, the ratio, and it's actually all Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is saying, Afa peish Rabbi Yehuda oiser. What does it mean Rabbi Yehuda oiser? Gei b'mamzeres, that's the one recorded halacha we know from Rabbi Yehuda regarding the halacha of Yuchsin. Although he holds it forbidden for gei to marry mamzeres. That is what the Mishnah's Chiddush is qualifying and saying, Hanemili Ger Deroy Lovi Bakal. That's only by a convert that's permitted to marry into the Kila, which is from all the other nations of the world. They're allowed to marry into the Kila. He holds, moreover, not only is a Ger allowed to marry into the Kila, moreover, they're actually considered from the Kila themselves. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a Ger is not allowed to marry Mamzeres. Aval Ger, Amoinami Ovi, but that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. It's all Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But a convert from the people of Amon Moab, they ain't ruined love of Bakal, that they're not allowed to marry to the Kila, they're forbidden forever. There, the halacha is loy. There's no isser of having a Ger Amon Moavi marrying into a Mamzer, and that's what the Mishnah was saying. Kalasurum love of Bakal, meaning they're forbidden to marry to the Kila, even a Ger Amon Moab is mutar, love is a bezet. It's adding on more than we didn't know for the previous Mishnah. Mishnah only, previous Mishnah spoke about Mamzer, Nosen, Shtuki, and Asufi. And that's what the Mishnah here is opening up with, a new Chiddush in Halacha. It includes also a Ger of Amon Moav who are forbidden to marry into the Kila. They are not considered from the Kahal, obviously, because they can never marry into the Kila. And therefore, it's Mutan Lav Ezebezeh. They're also added to this categorization of marrying into the Mamzerim, Nesini, Shtuki, and Asufi.